Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Welcome, welcome, welcome back, or welcome, either way. Cryptotalk.fm, my name is Leister. Did you hear that? Cryptotalk.fm, cryptotalkradio.net still exists, I still own it. Cryptotalk.fm, going forward, we're beginning the transition to the new domain, cryptotalk.fm. Easier to remember, shorter to type, cool as a freaking name, cryptotalk.fm. Check us out. It's the same site. We haven't changed it, but we are loading more content with our out-of-cycle updates, which hopefully you're enjoying, especially if you listen for a while. Quick personal. So I've got a realtor, buyer agent on deck to start the challenging hunt for a place. And I had two in mind. They listed like 2 days ago. They've already got offers. It's a, and you know, those, there's houses available, but these were like perfect, especially one of them. Perfect, flawless. They had character. They just stood out in the crowd. They were great homes. And they just got swept up like, boom. And they were cheap too. Well within the price. And just to put in, you know, I've got the money aspects taken care of. The paperwork's done. At this point, it's just finding the house, putting an offer, submitting the pre-approval, you know, all that, and getting it done. And I was assured that it shouldn't take too long. So I'm pushing that because I got notified I need to give my current place notice by May. So I've paid up April and May already on the rent, paid from the business. And so then now I have to start the process of getting the hell out of here. Because for those that are new, by the way, welcome. But I had leased this place as far back as January 2023. I didn't get to come here until September of 2023 because a lot was going on. Car issues, shingles, my brother passed away. There was a lot of stuff that was happening in the first quarter that delayed my arrival. And then there was the whole rat, the infamous rat, and all this nonsense that was happening. And so it just took a while to get situated. I spent a lot of money doing it, but I make a lot. But I got up here, got settled, realized this place sucks, but I had to get something. They were the only place that was willing to just make a deal. Now I'm considering buying. And then I don't plan to move again. I don't plan to, but you never know. So that's where I'm at on the personal side. And that's my current priority is doing the show. And that's the other reason I decided to record once a week, free up some time so I can do this home search, set up my studio there because I should have more room because the room I'm in right now, it's ready. But I figured, okay, let's get more space and get this going. So those that are impatient for me getting on video, I do apologize. I'm trying to give you the best, okay? Simply the best, better than all the rest. Shout out to Tina Turner. May she rest in peace. Cryptocurrency has some weird sways happen recently. Let's see what we can figure out. Let's talk some numbers. Let's go at that right now. Coindesk.com. Let's look at some numbers and see what's going on. I'm going to start with Ethereum because Ethereum's graph looks a little bit more easy to predict. So earlier on, so this was prior, right? We had a little bit of a drop, and then we had a little bit of a rise, and it dropped back down again. A low of 3,500, a high of 3,700, hovering about the 3,500 mark. As I record this, with a bullish sentiment generally, but a downward trend visibly. Bitcoin seemed to come better off. So Bitcoin did the same dip, went back up, dropped back down, but not as the same velocity as Ethereum. A low of 68,000, high of 72,000, high volatile, currently hovering at 69,000 mark. Various people have been talking about the impact on the Bitcoin ETFs and the theory that the Bitcoin ETFs were not directly correlated to the run-ups that we saw. And instead that there may simply be a number of different separate factors, one of those being the upcoming halving, one of those being so-called stale tokens, ones, coins that were sitting in a wallet that all of a sudden they woke up and they decided to start selling and buying, but more so selling. There were some sales that happened and then people scooped up the discounts, right? So it causes some pressure that was contributing. And this would explain some of the volatility I see where it's not sustained green anymore like it was. But the level that we're at with just about 69,000 is very close to where we left off after the 2021 run. So that tells me we basically recover the losses, but that only applies to Bitcoin. It doesn't apply to Ethereum because Ethereum has not gotten anywhere close to the all-time high that it left off at. It's only on the Bitcoin side. Tells me that there was just a lot of Bitcoin that was either people accumulated when Bitcoin was going down to like 12,000 and they're selling off of those major profits, or people were sitting on Bitcoin from when it ran the last time. And so now it's back up and now they're trying to figure out what's going to happen next. One of the two must be the case, possibly both. We'll crash course to this episode. I think it won't be that long. I wanted to get that observation out there and then look at the broader cryptocurrency market. Total market cap, $2.6 trillion, is down from the $2.7 trillion. It had dropped, down as low as $2.4 trillion, recovered some of that, and is currently holding steady at about $2.6. Not bad, but then I looked at the tokens that are in the top. One of them that was in the top before from that launch of the Athena token, the first digital USD, still high, but nowhere near as hot as it was. So that seems to correlate that the Athena's launch and the presale was contributing to the run-up of that one. Meanwhile, Doge skyrocketed up, a 24-hour volume of just shy of $60 billion for Doge alone. There's a lot of pressure, upward pressure for Doge. Remember, Doge went down to like 9 cents. It's currently at 18 cents and running upward. Right on its heels is Tron, TRX, which is $23 billion. XRP is also up there, $19 billion. Solana's recovering. Solana has some other issues I'll talk about here in a second. But it was surprising to see Doge as high as it is. One of the main contributors to dips for Solana was network congestion that started to creep in as there was so much upward pressure with all the garbage that was launching on Solana, and that's cooled off. It got as high as like 200 per on the Solana side, down to like 179. It's still high because remember, this is as low as like $20 or whatever. So it's still up there, but their developers are working on it to try to address this congestion issue because they know that it affects Solana's takeoff. And you got to look and see, will Solana recover more of that traffic or have people moved on to other chains? Base from Coinbase started to get some upward momentum and Ethereum started to get a little bit more back on its side. We also see on Tron that some of those garbage tokens spun up over there, as I suspected that they're just going to hop and jump to some other chain if Solana couldn't keep up. The Solana devs basically just said, you couldn't have anticipated this much growth. There's no way that you could have planned or projected this much traffic in this short of a time. And I agree with this. So I'm not dinging on them. It was going to happen where they were going to have some problems, and they had problems multiple times. This is not new. And if you're watching Solana wondering what the hell's going on, that's what's happening, is that essentially the network, there's a lot of failed transactions, there's a lot of congestion, and it's harming the trades because there was so much that crammed in there with various garbage tokens at one time. It just couldn't simply keep up. Now, mind you, every blockchain suffers this. Ethereum has it's where the gas gets up to like $200-$300 or whatever. Ethereum has it, BNB has it, Phantom has it, Polygon with that garbage Sunflower game. It affects all chains, so it's not an indictment on Solana. In fact, I think it did better than it did before, so I give them kudos for that. Telescam recently got under fire for what was alleged to be vulnerabilities in their desktop application. So the desktop application is for computers. Those who are brilliant and intelligent use computers, not mobile phones, and then the Telescam application on those computers, which Leister does not use, but I'm reporting it because you might use it. Certic, the firm that calls out scams and calls out breaches and all these different things, was the first to report. And they reported this literally as today, basically saying that there was a vulnerability. I'm not going to bore you with the technical details, but I'll just quote what they said and try to translate. Quote, possible remote code execution detected in Telescam's media processing in the Telescam desktop application. This issue exposes users to malicious attacks through specially crafted media files, such as images or videos. So, let me translate what this means. In the olden days, and the irony of this, I said that Telescam is nothing more than what we used to have with IRC. So, in the olden days, one popular vector for getting like viruses and malicious code on people's computers was by way of what's referred to as codecs. Codecs are the way that your computer is able to interpret and render media. So there's a codec for MP4. There's a codec for MP3. There's a codec for MPEG. There's a codec for Microsoft's Windows Media Video, and so on. And then photos You may not know this, but it's actually very easy to embed viruses and other malicious code into a photo and you wouldn't really know it. So in the olden days, this is how that was the most common way to communicate malicious code and viruses to your computer was by way of media. So you go, let's say AOL back in way back, you got mail and you get some mail and it's a photo and they say, hey, take a look at my photo with me topless or something. And you click it and it downloads a payload that installs on your computer and takes over your computer. And it was one of the earliest forms of delivery for what's referred to as Trojan viruses. And if you know the story of Trojan horse, it simply means that it's something that's hiding inside of something that looks safe. So this is a throwback. Seeing this, it's a throwback to what it was. Telescam, the group, came out and said, nah, there's no such vulnerability, and then later they acknowledged, okay, yeah, there's probably a problem, but the mobile is perfectly fine. So the mobile is likely perfectly fine because it uses what's referred to as sandboxing. Sandboxing is a way to isolate what's happening in an application from your phone. Now, I would argue it's still possible to breach your phone. So if you're using Telescam on your phone, you might be at risk if you interact with these media files to include NFT images. That's why I'm sharing it, because it's a warning to be careful. But this is also the reason that Leister at CryptoTalk.fm does not use Telescam, because that's what it's built for, is to scam people and rip you off, and you may not know it. So just be careful if you choose to use that tool. It is what it is. The irony of the timing of this is the Ton coin, which comes from Telescam, started jumping up because they announced hand scanning, as in palm scanning, technologies for identity verification. Quote, this technology works on any smartphone and browser and is designed to recognize all skin tones. I laugh at this. I'll tell you in a second. Ensuring everyone can benefit from this advanced proof of human system. It's a privacy-centric solution that validates human presence without compromising individual anonymity. So, here's the summary of this. The reason I laughed at the whole recognizing skin tones, my friends and I would have a joke, right? With Michael Jackson's Black or White song. Doesn't matter if you're black or white. Well, if you look at your palm, all of us have the same color palm. So it doesn't really matter about skin tones because it's looking at your palm. So it's kind of cheating is what it is. The other thing is your palm, you can very well cheat this because it's using cameras and it's using smartphones. And as we know from various imaging technologies, they can be cheated using photography. So if they say that they've overcome this challenge, sure. I suspect this is one of those where everybody is FOMOing into the latest cool kid tool. And later we're going to find out, okay, it doesn't really work. It's kind of crap, a doop, 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 and then the token's going to crap. That's what I suspect will happen. And I would also question why you would entrust your palm patterns, which can actually be used to violate your privacy, to a place like Telescam, which is designed to scam and take your identity, especially when it's fresh off this sketchy code in its desktop application. However, I digress. Now, let me wrap up today's episode. I said it would be short. That's on purpose. I'm going to wrap up today's episode and talk about BitGet, the wallet. I did a couple of talks about exchanges, and BitGet has an exchange. BitGet also has a wallet, and it's been gaining traction. And the reason I want to talk about the BitGet wallet, there's a number of wallets that I've used over time. The BitGet wallet has one thing that stands out about it that I like, and I talk about it because I think it's going to become the next killer app. That's why I'm discussing it. Part of the problem with cryptocurrency is the struggle in getting into different chains. You know, you can buy Bitcoin pretty easy at this point. It's a little struggle, but it's not that bad. And you can buy Ethereum pretty darn easy. And you can, with some difficulty, you can get BNB. It takes a little bit, but you can do it. But if you want to get into Tron, it's a pain. If you want to get into Matic, it's kind of sort of easy. Avalanche is a little bit of a pain, not that much. And Base is a little bit easy, but not quite. And so it's this diverse whatever. BitGet has an integration with their Swap in the wallet. And if you do, I do encourage you to check out their wallet and just kind of play with it. It's okay for the United States, but you just can't use. They have a different tool I'll talk about in a second that you can't use. But the Swap, the way it works is you can exchange, not all, but most coins for other coins on different blockchains. It's a, I don't want to say trustless, but it doesn't have the same limits to say it has to be the same chain to swap a coin. So you can take your Ethereum and get some BNB as an example. It's a little bit rigid. Like if you needed to swap Cardano to, let's say, AVAX, you'll probably get an error. But if you wanted to swap certain ones, it gives you a quote. The other part of this is that it has integrations with multiple different swaps, including PancakeSwap, Uniswap, their own BitGet exchange. Everything has this integration, Swift. And so then it'll get a quote and it'll tell you who's the cheapest and whether it can do the exchange. Now, the BitGet one is pretty much garbage. It almost always fails. I'd say it probably works 20% of the time. The PancakeSwap is solid. The Uniswap is solid. The Swift is 50-50. But when it works, it works. And it works really, really well. And I do encourage you to check it out because I was pretty impressed with how they pulled this off. Now, the problem is that when you go to look at prices for the different tokens or cryptos that you have, it's basically taking you to a subset of their exchange, the big exchange. And it gives you buy and sell, but you can't use it if you're in certain countries. So it's literally taking you to the exchange. So just understand, you have to distinguish between the swap feature, which is in the wallet itself, versus the price view and buy and sell, which is when you're viewing the price of a given token. It's a small but subtle and important distinction to make when you're looking at it. Check out the BitGet wallet. You should be able to find it in your app store. If it's Apple, it's definitely on Apple. I'm pretty sure it's on Android. But definitely check out the BitGet wallet because I was pretty impressed with what's going on there. And again, BitGet overall is, they're going up. They're based out of Seychelles. So I think they're doing really good stuff and they're growing. They're growing leaps and bounds and doing a lot of cool stuff. So check it out. I'm intrigued to see their journey. Let's put it that way, as an alternative to some of the garbage that's out there with the various deals. So that's what I got on deck for my coverage that I wanted to mandatory get through. The last, just a bullet note real quick. I had some feedback talking about different tokens that I've talked about and over time. And the truth is this. Next week, allegedly, there's going to be a new layer zero blockchain for Cytochain. And what I keep stressing, and I want you to understand, we're in a different world with cryptocurrency. The vast majority of people don't even care about your blockchains. They don't care about your dApps. They don't care even about your NFTs. They don't care as much as they should about your games. They care about what's the price. Can I buy and sell it and make some money? It's gambling. So to me, the priority one should be, what are you going to do to make sure that there's profit for people? Now, that's hard because you have to entice rich mother fathers into your project. And how do you do this? I think with certain projects that like API3 or others that are trying to think outside the bubble, I think that's going to be the next situation that you see profit runs, strong profit runs. I'm not talking these pumps of, you know, whatever. And when you look at something like Dog with Hat, right, I think it's going to crap at a point. I think it's going to crash and burn. I think it had its day. I think it's going to crash and burn. I think it's going to pump and dump for however many iterations, just like Pepe did, just like Bonk did. I think the ones that are going to sustain their value are these ones that are looking for strong utility. This is going to affect SHIB. It's going to affect Cytochain. It's going to affect all these other ones that are kind of down in this middle layer where they're not really doing anything. And they talk about a blockchain, but not realizing that nobody cares. You can say, well, they'll be able to build a nobody cares. They don't. It shouldn't be the first thing you do. To me, the first thing you do is to get the money. First, you get the money, right? That's what I think, in my opinion, is going to make the blockchain sustain by getting the money necessary for traffic to justify why they should do it. Making that work means you have to lead in, assuming a blockchain strategy. You can't do it as a migration. You can't do it as a V2. Because no token has done a migration and succeeded or thrived, even if it's still around. They haven't thrived, none, okay? So if you started as a garbage token and you crapped on investors, you're going to have a hard time selling them on a narrative that you're now a serious blockchain. And if you can't get that far, like if you think of even Lilly Finance, Lilly and Finance talked about medical blockchain. They never got that far. Because they did so much harm to investors, what they were doing, it was already too late. And so you think about it, you're not going to be able to justify this. And that's what I'm warning, anybody's free to gamble and do whatever you're going to do. I'm saying I don't think it's going to work long term. I think you're going to have a hard time justifying this business to people. It's fine if you believe. I think the developers are not going to make it work. So people can come out and say, well, this, that. My stuff's public, okay? The podcast episode's on the site, CryptoTalk.fm. It's on every podcasting platform. It's easily searchable. My SEO is sky high, and it replicates to YouTube. All I ask, if I get it right, you come back and give my credit of just what I'm warning, which is I'd rather see people focus on the ones that have strong utility first. That's all. If you want to be a gambler, I celebrate that, but admit that you're gambling. Don't try to convince me that garbage Project A that's had 3 migrations and has scummy developers behind it and has lied to you and has dumped off of you is all of a sudden Magic Kingdom, because that's what got SafeMoon in trouble. That's all. And I'm saying that because I don't want people to have a false impression about this run. This run is not the same as 2021's run. 2021 run, those mother fathers got away with a lot and was piggybacking off of the run of Ethereum. Ethereum hasn't run yet. It will, but even with the pumps that we had, some of these tokens didn't go anywhere. That means I think people are smarter. They're still gambling on the garbage, but those don't sustain. They're going to die at some point, and I think the money's going to flow back into the strong tokens. What you choose to do with your money is what you choose to do with your money. I'm simply sharing it as a caveat and a warning because I want people listening to the show to benefit, not suffer. That's my goal and purpose in this business.